So Mandy said, leave it switched on. And I said, there's no way on this earth I'm going to leave it switched on, because if you put that microphone on while I'm singing, that will empty the building. So apologies, Mandy, my fault. Okay, I'm going to do a bit of a kneel. For those of you that don't know, because the congregation has changed over time, my name is Karen and I am married to Jonathan. We met at a place called London Bible College, that was also known as London Bridal College. And I vowed, probably not vowed, I just thought to myself, I am not coming out of this place married and a teacher, which is what a lot of ladies from Bible College did. On leaving with my degree, I was engaged to Jonathan, and I was enrolled in Durham University to do a postgraduate certificate in education. I'm sure sometimes God looks at us and thinks, ah, you don't know what I know. So, one of the things that you need to know when I stand up at the front is, being a teacher is in me. I am a teacher, it's part of my identity. In fact, so much so that yesterday, we had a family gathering for Father's Day and my daughter's birthday, and I said something to Jonathan, I can't even remember what, and he and both the kids said, Mum, will you stop using your teacher's voice with Dad? And unfortunately, he's had 40 years of me doing that with him, so sorry, Jonathan. Okay, so one of the things about being a teacher is I teach in a certain way and I preach in the same way. So don't expect to sit there and fall asleep, because you're going to be included. Okay? Is that okay? One of the things that we ask our teachers in school to do is go back to prior learning. So you build on prior learning. So we're going to be building on Erica's talk, and we're going to be building on Neil's talk from last week, and you'll see that as we go along. Okay? So part of this talk today is a talk that I must have done, I don't know, in the church about 15 years ago. So if you were here that long ago, apologies. I have changed it a bit. But it's something that made a big impact on my Christian walk when I became a Christian listener before we came to this church. So it's over 30 years ago. And it's still there. It's still at the core of my Christian walk today. All right? So you'll always get me using a flip chart. We haven't got an interactive whiteboard, so perhaps one day. So the flip chart will come in handy. Right, so today's talk is about being gracious. And if you're going to be gracious, you have to understand what grace is. Because if you don't understand it, you're not going to practice it. Okay? Now, this is my little cycle. Okay? I want us to think, first of all, about achievement. What do people see as achieving in the world? What kind of things do people do that you think might give them a sense of achievement? Shout it out. Family? I want to use that colour. I'm going to use blue. So, family. Now, you got me back there, didn't you, Phil? Next!
Helping the poor.
Pardon?
Helping the poor.
Okay, helpy. Yeah.
Education.
Say again.
Education.
Education.
Career.
Yeah. Being a good listener. I'm being a listener. Okay, I'm sure we could go on and on and on, but Jill tells me I'm famous for not doing long talks, so I'm going to attempt not to do a long talk. So, people get a sense of achievement from different things. We're all individuals, we all know what floats our boat, if you like. Out of that achievement, we gain our significance. Significance. Pete said they were going to focus on this, so I thought, oh heck, I better get my spelling right then, and that's a bit of an issue for me. What do we mean by significance? Any
idea? Something that stands out.
Something that stands out for, that makes us stand out. Yes. Like that.
How we feel about ourselves.
Hang on. Our purpose. I'll leave it there because all those are great answers. Okay. All right, so we know what lots of people might think achievement is, that that achievement may give them significance. But how is that significance sustained? How is that significance sustained? Bit of a harder question.
Discipline.
Determination, work.
Practices. Listening to God.
That's for later, Jeff. Don't bring that one in yet. Okay. So, for people who might see work, to keep them sustained, they might need to be promoted. They might need to feel that they're going up the ladder. They might feel that it's all about how much they earn. Okay? And then, all of that may, and that is in capital letters, may lead them to feel accepted. May. Okay? Generally, you will know people for whom that is true. Yeah? Okay. So, what I want to say to you this morning is Jesus. Let me just do some arrows here because we're starting at achievement, which leads to give us significance. And to keep that significance, we have to sustain these two things, and that may lead us to feeling accepted. So what Jesus and God our Father does, here's one I made earlier, is turn that on its head. Okay? Because we always start with knowing that we are accepted by God, by Jesus, and by our Christian family. Okay? So, I'm a teacher. About 12 years ago, I did a course, and the short title of it is NUP Slubber. And that stands for the National Programme for Specialist Leaders in Behaviour and Attendance. It took me a whole year to get a little certificate, which said that I was a specialist in behaviour and a specialist in attendance. That probably isn't very true. I did my best. And then more recently, I've been on another course, and this is the phrase. What I pray today is that from all of the things that I'm going to say, that God gives you the little bit that you need to take home and work on, or that you need to allow God to help you to understand. But the one phrase I want you to take away from today is unconditional positive regard. Okay? Now, believe it or not, this is a method of behaviour that is being introduced into schools. And you know what? I think it's grace. It's absolutely grace. I think about Jesus when he'd been baptised and he came up out of the water. And what did God say to him? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Unconditional positive regard. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And now, in schools, you know, I was listening to Neil saying last week he had a very difficult class and that class broke him and he had to leave education. And using this relational method within schools means that exclusions and suspensions are going down and that children feel valued and listened to within a school setting. And I think somebody said to me, you're quite passionate about this, aren't you? But it's only this week when I've been thinking about this talk that I've actually joined together this unconditional positive regard in education to God. And the more I've thought about it, it's the same. That if we show grace to our children in whatever situation, and if we show grace to each other, that is unconditional positive regard. Okay, so I'll just get that out of the way. So I'm going to talk a little bit about me and my dad. My dad died 20 years ago, and I will attempt not to get upset. I do usually get upset when I stand up here, by the way. I don't remember my dad ever telling me that he loved me. I don't remember him giving me lots of cuddles because I'm quite old and they were obviously older and it wasn't the done thing. You didn't show affection particularly. And he didn't really, but I tell you something, I absolutely knew my dad loved me. Absolutely. Didn't question it. Didn't often shout at me. I remember him once getting quite cross with me. I'm not going to tell you what I've done, but that's the only time I ever remember him getting cross with me. And for me, understanding God's love for me is actually quite easy because I already have that experience in my locker because that's the relationship I had with my dad. I'm going to say to you that if you haven't had that positive relationship either with a parent or a very important carer in your life, then this unconditional positive regard can be quite difficult. And Mandy, I hope you don't mind me saying this. When I was speaking to Mandy early on in the week, she said that was something that she'd had to work through with God. And if you feel that that might be you and it might be something that you need to work through, then please think about that. And I know that seems a little unfair. You know, for some people it might be easy, but for some people it's not so easy. But I guess that's true of lots of different things in life. Some things, you know, Erica finds singing easy, can't do it whatsoever. There are some things each of us find easy or hard. But that relationship in knowing God our Father, if there is something that you think is stopping that happening, then that might be something you might like to talk to God about. So Erica, a few weeks ago, talked about being transparent. And if we have that unconditional positive regard and we know that we have that from God, and wait for it, we have it from each other, then there's no problem being transparent. Because that unconditional positive regard isn't going to change. So there's no problem with being transparent with each other, and there's no problem with being transparent with God. So, in this cycle, acceptance is number one. And that then leads to sustenance. And this is where Neil's talk comes in. Wasn't it brilliant? And he talked about going out into the Lake District and the sustenance that that gave him. He went out, and we've talked about, my God, how great, we've sung, my God, how great thou art. You know, when I sit here and I hear the birds sing and I hear this and I see that. That gives us sustenance. And I guess it's our choice how much sustenance we take in. You know, I've read quite a lot this week about grace and that relationship we have with God and how we sustain that. So what, how much we talk to God, how much we find out about him, how much we read our Bibles. And can I say, out of all this, that's my weakest area. That's the one that I'm often too busy to do what needs to be done. That's my transparency for you. Okay? This sustains us, coming to church, being with each other, worshipping God, hearing God's word sustains us. Having relationships with other people sustains us. When we're not finding life easy, going to people that we know that will pray with us, that will give us that unconditional positive regard, sustains us. Okay? Now, then we come to significance. And this, a sense of significance, what gives us our identity? My identity is not just that I'm a teacher, it's not just that I'm a wife, it's not just that I'm a mother. The basis of my identity is that I absolutely know unconditionally that I am a child of God. And that God unconditionally loves me. And that gives me a great sense of significance. And we need to know that. And we need, it's not about being proud. It's not about that significance coming from what we do, how much we earn, how big our house is. It's none of that. Our significance comes from being and knowing. Okay, and then, out of all of that, oh, I've put acceptance there, and that's not right. Out of all of that comes our achievement. And our achievement is simply not what we achieve in life, it's how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about God, and the impact that that has on what we do as Christians. Not what we obtain in life, not anything. All those things can impact on us, but when we look at this cycle of grace, and then we start again. You know, it's a continual thing. Okay? Now, sorry to Liz, because I said, oh, I need some unsuspecting person, and I pounced on Liz, but she graciously said, oh, I'd like to do that. We're going to read, Liz is going to read the Lost Son, okay? I've read this loads of times, loads and loads of times, and this time it made me cry. You're going to need to use that one. Paul, can you help? I've warned Liz that I'm going to interrupt her as she's reading this, but she doesn't know when. So it's going to be a surprise for everybody. And she's only got a very little Bible, but she still agreed to do it. Okay, so this is the parable of the lost son. And this is a story of unconditional positive regard. Go for it.
Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons.
Stop there. What you may not know is that culturally, the eldest son got two-thirds and the youngest son got one-third. So this youngest son is getting one-third. Carry on.
A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became...
Bible, by the way.
The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him.
Okay, stop there. Can you see how he got the cycle of grace? He wanted his money. He thought that would bring him significance. He thought it would sustain him and that he would be accepted as a result. Didn't quite work that way, did it? Carry on, Liz.
But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please, take me on as a hired servant.'"
Stop there. So he wasn't expecting his father to accept him in the way he had been as a son. He was expecting his father to accept him, if at all, as a hired servant.
So he returned home to his father. And while he was still...
Listen to this bit.
...a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him.
Stop there. That wasn't the done thing.
No.
To pull your skirts up, which would have been the fashion, and to leg it was not the done thing. This man was absolutely practicing unconditional positive regard towards his son.
His son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him."
Stop there. Did his father listen to what he was saying at all?
No.
It wasn't relevant. It wasn't relevant.
"Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found." So the party began.
Stop there. Thing was, it wasn't his calf. It was the eldest son's calf. Carry on.
Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the fields, working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. "Your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the fatted calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to."
Stop right there. Same cycle. Lived by law. If I do everything my father tells me to do, then I will gain my inheritance. Same cycle. Thanks, Liz.
"And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found."
The father got it, just hadn't communicated it very well to his children. Our Father in heaven communicates very well to us that this is the way round it needs to be. Okay. Do you know what? When I read that, and it's that And he lifted up his skirts and he ran. And he didn't listen to the argument of his son. It wasn't important. His son was home. His unconditional positive regard. You're back. Everything is fine. Okay. Neither of those two sons understood grace. They didn't understand positive regard. They just saw achievement as what they got. So I guess we all today have a choice. Which cycle are you in and do you want to be in? I don't say that lightly because, as I've said, sometimes our earthly experiences, whether we like it or not, impact on how we see God. And only God can change the way you view things. I can stand here and I can talk till I'm blue in the face about how much God loves you, his regard for you, and that it's unconditional. Actually, you need to hear God whispering that for yourself. I was a very young Christian. I became a Christian when I'm 14, which is a very long time ago. And one of the things that I hold very dear is when God spoke to me through Isaiah 43. You are chosen. You are loved. I call you by your name. I give up countries for you. And that is where I got this from. I know. And okay, there are times when I want to say to God, do you know what? I really don't understand what you're doing now. Do you know what? I'm having a bit of trouble because I'd have done things differently. But that doesn't mean to say that that's changed. Okay? And in terms of how gracious we are to each other, unconditional positive regard has to be acknowledged and accepted in relationship. So we are in relationship with each other and we are in relationship with God. One of the things that in my role at school, if I've had to challenge a child, I have to make sure I restore that relationship so that they still know that I have that unconditional positive regard for them. It might mean that I go and find them and I might go, where's my hug? Or sometimes when I'm having a conversation with a child, I did this on Friday with two children that had a little bit of a spat together. And the stories didn't quite agree with each other, as they often don't. And I sat them down and I said, right, boys, there's two things you need to know here. First is, I very much want you to tell me what the truth is, so that it helped me to understand what actually happened. The second thing is, whatever you tell me will not make any difference to how I feel about you. And lo and behold, out the truth came. Didn't make any difference to me. We hugged. I said, thank you for telling me the truth. But that comes out of relationship. As an aside, unconditional positive regard for each other might be more difficult than understanding that unconditional positive regard that God has for us. But the thing you need to understand is, if God's prepared to do that for us, what right have we not to do it for each other? None. Doesn't make it easy. I'll be honest, there have been times when I've been in churches and God has done things through people and we all know things about each other and I've said to God, I can't believe you did that through him or her. I know that what they were doing last week was this, that and the other, or that kind of stuff anyway. And God says, excuse me, excuse me. Unconditional positive regard, grace, graciousness. Thank you for listening. Please listen to God. And he might say, do you know what? You've got it. Or he might say, well, there's this little bit that we need to have a little chat about and work on. But please, please know. And it is a knowing, because you don't always feel it. It is a knowing that God has unconditional positive regard. Full stop. Can we pray? Is that okay? Okay. What the prodigal son said to, father said to his son is, my son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. And that is what God says to us. My child, I am always with you and everything I have is yours. Father God, in your mercy and in your grace, in your unconditional positive regard, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to listen. Help us to understand that cycle of grace that puts acceptance at the heart. And Lord, help us to be open when you want to have that conversation with us, when we might not have quite got things in the right perspective. But thank you so much for that story that Jesus gave. Thank you so much for that example. And the father ran to his child. And thank you that that is what you do for us. Amen.